It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Phillies Backstage. I'm Tom Burgoyne, joined by John Brazier. Hello, John.
Tom, very excited because the guests we're about to have on, we're going to be talking some football because right now it's Tuesday,
Yes. Right,
about 2 o'clock.
Get pumped.
And we are 5 days away from Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah.
So people might be listening to this and already know what the score is because it's, you know, it could be down the road. But we are going to preview a little bit, and we're going to talk about our buddy Hugh Douglas.
Yes, Hugh's with us. Hello, Hugh.
What's going on, fellas? How you doing?
Are you fired up?
I am. You know what's funny? Like, somebody asked me the other day, are you getting excited? And I was like, nope. I try to keep, because it's only Tuesday.
Yeah.
So you try to keep your emotions in check. I try not to watch too much of the pomp and pageantry.
Even last night, there was like 4 hours on.
Yeah, and I'm like, because it's it's really weird around this time of year because even though I cannot play football anymore, you still get the juices flowing and you think about, you know, being here in Philadelphia and the Philadelphia Eagles are in the Super Bowl. Think about the time that we went to the Super Bowl. And you just get excited for the city, excited for the guys that are there, and just can't wait to Sunday.
Yeah,
and I can't play the game today though. I gotta pace myself.
You gotta pace yourself. John and I are doing the same. Cutting right to the chase, Hugh. Who wins? What's the final score?
Of course the Eagles win.
Of course
the Eagles win.
Could you imagine, John, if it's that? Yeah, I think the Chiefs are going to win by a touchdown.
I would say I'm thinking 24-20.
All right. And
if you look at it, it's a really interesting Super Bowl. I mean, obviously they're talking about Andy Reid. You played under Andy Reid.
Yes.
You know, you've got the young coach in Nick Sirianni. You got the Kelce brothers going against each other, right? You have the first two African American quarterbacks
all of that
to play against each other, right? You've got just, again, there's so many crossover between Kansas City and Philadelphia. And you look at it, it's like you go to the – all right, I'm going to look at it from my perspective. Offensive line, right? I mean, you can't have a better offensive line than Eagles right now.
No, not right? at all. You talk about Lane Johnson coming back from that groin injury that he had, abdomen injury, whatever it is, and being able to play. I can't imagine what kind of pain that he's feeling right now. And to be in this moment and just having to gut it out for one more game, man. Just be good for one more
game.
But
as a player, you forget all that, right? Because, unless it's really a debilitating injury, right? And obviously, that was the abductor, I think, right?
Yes.
And also, you know, there's a couple other guys that have some injuries, obviously Hurts being one of them. The other quarterback, Mahomes, has an injury. But you, as playing in the Super Bowl, I mean, I guess you got to just throw everything out there if you can.
Man,
right?
Listen, you got to do – you have to have – I know both the trainers, Tom Hunkley, for the Eagles, and I know Rick Burkholder because Rick was here with the Philadelphia Eagles. Aggressive trainers. Tom comes from that Rick Burkholder school. And if you have to do everything that you possibly can within your power to get ready to play in this game, this is it. You can heal in the offseason. Yep. You can rest in the offseason. So that, you know what it's all about. Just getting there, being there. And if you – it's the difference between being hurt and injured. And if you're hurt, everybody's hurt. Just got to suck it up, man. Just got to suck it up and go.
How about, you mentioned you were there, obviously, in 2004 with the Eagles. The veteran leadership, and in particular, veterans who've been there before, you think that's going to help the Eagles?
I think it is. You know, you talk about Brandon Graham. I mean, so proud of Brandon. You know, when you talk about the big play that he had in the first Super Bowl win and the fact that he had the great season that he had now, man, and to be one of the mentors on that team and help mentor the young guys coming up, and them listening to them. And this group, from what I can see, is a real close-knit group. So I think that helps the young guys, and it also keeps everything tight so that when the older guys are gone, the young guys know how to usher and mentor the new young guys coming in. So you can always keep that just going, man, and keep this football team great in Philadelphia.
And what was that two-week, like, period, when you were down in 2004,
yeah.
All right, you make the playoffs, and then or you make the Super Bowl, you've got a week off. Well, actually, you almost have 2 weeks off, right,
mm-hmm.
in a sense between the games. What was that like as a player? Like, just because you're dealing with all kinds of things. You're dealing with family and friends and ticket requests and hotel requests, a lot of these outside distractions, right?
Yes.
And then you also have to put together a game plan.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. The first week is the week for everything that you mentioned, family distractions, ticket requests, and all that other stuff. You're going to go out there and practice a little bit, but you're not going to ramp up practice until the following week, because I think at that point, coaches are looking at a bunch of film. They're preparing for the game. But that first week, between the time that you've played and the hiatus that you have before you actually travel, that's when you make sure the family member, significant other, they have their rooms and everything. They have their tickets. Wife or significant other takes care of all of that, so you don't have to worry about that. Next week, when you touch down in Arizona, wherever it is the game is, you're focused on football. You don't have to worry about any of that other stuff.
And do you even leave the hotel like that last week?
That last week, you like that Monday, what I remember, you know, you did a few things, because I think the family comes in later in that week. You did a few things. You might have some appearances that you have to do at Radio Row or whatever, but you're escorted to most of those. I mean, it's a real tight, close environment where, you know, the hotel, the team hotel, nobody can get there unless you're supposed to be there and things of that nature. So it's really tough. It's really, really tough to move around like that.
Yeah, I think the same thing, John, because I go back to 81 when the Eagles made it. And, you know, they always said when we beat Dallas in that NFC championship game, like that was our Super Bowl. But, you know, Vermeil was so, you know, kind of tight, and he had the guys pretty tight down there in New Orleans. Whereas I think the Raiders were literally going out. And I don't know if players do that anymore. Like leading up to the Super Bowl, there's some teams that are looser than others in terms of hitting the town. But you think anybody's hitting the town this week?
I don't think so, because this is a business trip.
That was in the past.
Yeah, this is a business trip. And then you got to think
– the business trip.
Look at all the pitfalls that are out there now. And the biggest pitfall is women. You know, you're going to Arizona. It's a beautiful place to play. And all you hear about Arizona is all the beautiful women. That could be the biggest – the absolute worst distraction that you could possibly have outside of all the other, you know, the alcohol and just the nightlife and stuff like that. So I think that as a former player, you have to be smart about that, and you have to know that you're there because you're trying to be a part of history in a good way.
Yeah, I can't wait. Again, it's going to be they're the two best teams, the best records, the best teams, the best quarterbacks, and you got one guy who's been there, you know, played in the Super Bowl. And Mahomes, you know, who's a former baseball player. His dad played, was a pitcher in the major leagues. And then you got Jalen Hurts, who we haven't seen the story. His story is just beginning.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and that's why I think we're going to be good for a long time. Since you are predicting the Eagles are going to win, you've played for Andy. Does he have any weaknesses? Is there a way to beat Andy Reid in this big game?
You know what? I think the weaknesses going into this game is from what I've seen, from the games that I watched, and I'm thinking about last week. Well, a week ago when they played Cincinnati Bengals. That Chiefs secondary is fairly young. So there might be some instances where you can exploit what those young guys are trying to do. I saw Hayden Hurst for the Cincinnati Bengals running free in the secondary because they misjudged the coverage. They didn't communicate on that back end. So I think that if you start moving guys around and crisscrossing receivers and stuff like that, you'll get those young guys jammed up on the back end, and there might be some opportunities to make some plays like that.
Do you think Jalen Hurts will be, because they've been somewhat conservative, only because they didn't really have to be, mm-hmm. you know, have to, because they had a lead from the get-go in both games. Do you think they basically take the
governor off?
Yes.
Let him do it? Yeah, you have to. Yeah. This is it. This is the absolute last game of the season. After this, we're getting ready for spring training, guys.
Yeah, I know.
So you might as well. You might as well go ahead and let them hang out. Like you say, let them drop.
Did you ever do a batting?
Oh my God!
Challenge?
Yes. We'll get into that. Unless we want to get into it right now. Well, let's get into it right now. Hugh came down because we're going to go back through your whole career. But
yes.
You came down in 2008. Now you came down with Kenny from the Dirty 30.
Yes.
Right, and you came down with Joe Wechter. WIP's producer, and I think the reason you didn't come down with a show, you came down on a quest to meet Anna Benson.
I think it was that what it was?
Chris Benson's wife,
Chris
yes.
Benson's wife.
I can't remember, but I remember being there, and phenomenal. Like, just every day at Clearwater, the grouper sandwiches at the one
Palm
spot.
Pavilion?
We went to the one spot. It just be baseball season.
Yep.
And I remember Ryan Howard, man, my frat brother, like, teach me how to hit the ball the correct way. I didn't know it's like chop. Like, you know how most times when you see people, they want to swing up. Yeah. It's like, no, you don't swing up. You swing down. Well, that, it's like you swing down.
Back then they were teaching that.
Yeah.
Now it might be a little
different now?
Might be a little different now.
Oh, no, because I see now everybody's swinging for the fences.
The launch angle, right.
Okay, the launch angle. But so that's what it is.
Well, so we got Hugh a jersey, right? And I had to go. I meant to Phil Sheridan, and Phil's like, I don't know if we have a jersey that big.
No, the pants. Remember, the pants didn't fit either.
Right. So we took you into the cage, and Milt Thompson was our hitting coach. And Milt got you in the cage down in Clearwater.
Yes.
And gave you instructions. That's what he said, chopping wood. You're chopping down on the ball.
So it's changed now. So see.
It's changed a little bit.
I was all excited because I'm thinking, like, I know a little something. And so now I've been working on that motion.
Right.
So now you're telling me
I'm
screwed,
some people would say you still know and keep that knowledge because they don't believe in the new school.
Well, Hugh, is this like the first time you were ever swung a bat? You didn't play growing up?
No, I didn't.
Oh, how about that?
Like, me growing up, baseball was expensive. That was an expensive sport. Yeah. You know what? To be honest, fellas, baseball is expensive. Now when you talk about the travel teams and everything, and it was not a skill set that I groomed and honed. But I tell you what, I think now, is it too late for me to be a DH? I'm 51. Is it too late for me to be a
DH? Not at all.
But first of all, I got to be able to hit the ball. I don't think I would be able to do that.
Well, one thing that I'll always remember is, again, so he was in the cage, right, with Milt giving instructions, all the players around there, Ryan and Chase and Jimmy and everybody. And then you came back into the locker room. Now all the players are in there. They're getting dressed, kind of getting ready for workout. And you're in there, and you're getting undressed. And I remember you were saying, do you remember what you said to these guys?
I don't remember.
You said, I will never – you said – I'll clean it up a little bit. You said, I will never complain that baseball players are wimps anymore.
No, I do remember
because,
that.
Because every piece of my body hurts right now.
Do you know what I remember the most about that experience? It was my hands. Mm. Like, because – like one time I was telling my son woke up one day when he was like 15 and said, hey, Dad, I want to play football. Like, what the hell you mean you want to play? Like, you're 15 years old and now all of a sudden you want to play? It doesn't work like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like you're talking about a skill set that has been honed with a lot of young kids for years. Same thing with baseball. I remember, like, the torquiness of swinging the bat. I remember all of this, the obliques and all of this were just sore.
Yeah.
It was like, it was muscle groupings that I didn't know that I was using until after I got to the room and was like, good God, I tore something. Like, it was just, like, to swing that bat and the injuries that they have, and then you understand what they say, well, he has an abdomen issue or whatever. Because the torque, and I wasn't even hitting, he wasn't even throwing heat.
Right.
But just the torque that you use just to try to get the ball, hit the ball, number one.
And were
one.
You hitting? Like, were you connecting in the cage a little bit?
A couple times. A couple times. Yeah, but even just that, just to see the ball, connect with the ball, and then to have the power to take it out of the park, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot going on, man.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Well, we were talking before we went on here, just the longevity of the season. You know, 162 games. Players are tough, Hugh. I mean, you know, they throw their bodies around. They're standing in against guys who can pitch 100 miles an hour.
Yes.
You know, and you
get hit by one of those pitches.
Yeah.
Didn't realize how much or how painful that could potentially be.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk about guys getting hit with pitches and orbital bones being cracked and things like that, I'm like, yeah, that's a lot going on.
Yeah.
That's a lot going on.
I mean, there's a lot of ways to get injured in baseball. And I just came back from fantasy camp.
Uh-huh.
And fantasy camp where guys, the average age is probably 60 years old.
Uh-huh.
These guys come down there and get in their uniforms. And the first day, there's like 20 people waiting in line for the trainer's room. The next day, there's like 40. Next day, there's like, you know, 60. And it goes deeper and deeper. And it's obliques and it's hamstrings.
Hamstrings. Because you just don't realize how much of your total body. Like swinging a bat, if you're doing it right, that's a total body workout.
Yeah.
That is a total body workout.
And running, too. You know, you're sprinting, you know, from first to, you know, home to first. And,
yeah.
And people, if you're not used to running like that, you know, people want to get to first as fast as they can, but they're blowing out hammies on a pretty regular basis at fantasy camp.
All right, Hugh, let's go through your whole career. Because, you know, and we want to get into also your new career that's going to be starting pretty soon, or at least new in Philadelphia. You grew up in Ohio,
yes.
Right? And as Tom already alluded to, you never played baseball. Was it football? Did you play basketball at
played,
all?
Tried to play basketball, embarrassed myself doing that, and never played again. You know, missed the layup, and all the little girls started laughing at me. And I was like, you know, it's a wrap for that.
That was it?
That was it.
One so and I done played, for basketball.
Just play football. Just go play football.
All right, so you went to Mansfield Senior High School, and I asked this question to every pro athlete. At what point did you realize that you had a special talent, that maybe you had a special talent that could actually get paid for it?
I didn't realize that. A friend of mine did. We called him Daddy Rawls. Ralph Rawls was like my track coach when I was in high school. And I remember him telling me all the time, hey, man, you should go to school. Because that wasn't the plan. You know, coming from a small town, that wasn't my initial plan. But he kept getting in my ear saying, hey, man, you need to go to school. You have a skill set. You could go, you know, play in the pros or whatever. And I'm like, oh, whatever. So go get at least go to school and get education. So he was the guy that pushed me to go to school. And that's how when I went to college, went to a small school, Central State University. And the day that I realized that I might have the ability, I was walking out of I was walking off the track, and I saw a scout for the Denver Broncos. I didn't know he was there to see me, but he was. And he was asking me questions because at first when he saw me, he didn't believe how small I was. And he was just asking me questions like how much I weigh and all this other stuff. And, you know, he asked me, did I ever think about going to the pros? And I was like, I didn't put that much thought into it. But when he said it, then that's when I started realizing, like, hey, now you start noticing other scouts coming around and people watching your practice.
And he came to see you. He wasn't there to see anybody else.
Then you start to realize, like, hey, maybe I could do this at the next level.
Well, and then you had a lot of success, too, because you're an All-American there. You had 42 sacks in 32 games in your three-year career. You had 13 multiple sack games. You actually won the national championship, right, as a sophomore?
Yes, we did.
Obviously, you had big of a spotlight right there on you.
Yeah.
Did you realize you're going to be a first-round draft pick?
Nope. Did not realize that either.
So even like right before the draft, you had no idea you're going to be a first-rounder?
No, you know what? Because it was funny. Like most of the people I talked to, the biggest knock on me was I didn't play against any competition. They didn't know what position I was going to play. I was considered a tweener, a linebacker. I was too big to be a linebacker, but I was too small to be a defensive end. So they really weren't sure at what position that I was going to play. I worked out with the defensive linemen. But they weren't too sure about that. So I didn't know. I did not know. They told me it could be anywhere from, like, the second on down. And all of a sudden on draft day, I got drafted in the first round by the New York Jets.
And just completely caught you by surprise.
Caught me by surprise.
So you were at home, I guess?
Yeah, I was at home. I was in Dayton, Ohio. I was at my agent's house. Yeah. And we were watching TV, and he was like, you need to watch the draft. And I'm like, I don't care to watch. Wherever I go, you know, I'm going to go. So when the New York Jets called, the first thing they asked me, they said, do you want to play for the Jets? And I paused for a minute because I wanted to say no.
Right.
And not for the reasons you think, though. I didn't want to go to New York. Like, I've never been to New York. I'm from the Midwest. I'm from Ohio. So I was like, I don't want to go in a big city. But I ended up saying yes. They ended up drafting me. And going to New York was a little different. Like, I was in New York in, what, 95? And if you've ever, like, if anybody out there knows old New York, you know exactly what I'm talking about, where they had the, you know, what's the best way I can say this on the podcast?
It's Times Square.
Yes, all that. Yeah,
Times Square was a mess.
It was different.
Yeah,
it was different. And you know, it was a different time. I guess I just keep saying it's different. It was different.
And you went first, but did you start to put on? I mean, did you start to get big that first year?
The first year that I was there, I was still considered small. I didn't get big until my second season, but I came in overweight. I came in, like, super fat. And I remember Coach Kotite was like, look at your ass.
That was Kotite. Yeah. That's right.
Like, you're so fat. And they wouldn't let me go home, so I had to stay in New York and train to get the weight off and get ready for the next season. So, that was my second year. I was a little heavy.
He actually played for three first-time coaches. So Kotite was a brand-new head coach that year, right, in 95. You guys had a tough year. You went 3-13, and then next year was even tougher because you went 1-15. Actually, my boy Glenn Foley was on that team.
Glenn Foley,
right?
Yes.
You're going to be back in Philadelphia with Glenn Foley.
Yeah, man, listen, I remember Glenn Foley's wife made me a pecan pie one time. I don't know if he's still married to her, but shout out to Glenn Foley. Made me a pecan pie. It was pretty tasty.
Was the pie the best part of that season?
Yes. Because that's about it. Because we were
Then he gets, then Kotite steps down after a 1-15 season. Then your last year with the Jets, Bill Parcells, and there was a little controversy there because they wanted to hire Parcells, and then Parcells.
No, it was Belichick.
Belichick got
the job.
Right.
And then
Parcells is going to be like an advisor or
yes,
something.
Yes, and then Parcells ended up getting the job. So Belichick stepped down, and he was the defensive coordinator.
Right. Mm. And then you get traded to the Eagles. So when you get traded to the Eagles in 1998, what did you think of Philadelphia? Were you excited to come to Philadelphia?
No, not at all. Was not. Like, initially, I was not excited. I didn't know anything about Philadelphia. Was not excited. I was like, oh, Philadelphia's dirty. I never, like, because I didn't know.
Right.
And I remember when I got here, coming through the airport, and people kept saying, just beat Dallas, whatever. And I'm like, what are they talking about? Because, you know, being in New York and playing for the Jets, we were second-class citizens. Like, it's the Yankees,
yep,
the Mets, or maybe it's no,
Rangers,
the Yankees.
Knicks.
Well, I'm trying to go in the proper order. It's the Yankees, the Knicks.
Rangers,
or maybe
probably.
It's the Knicks, Yankees, whatever. Yeah, yeah. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
And like the Jets are somewhere.
Jets and the Islanders are down.
Yeah,
they're
way down the list. So to come here in Philadelphia and walk through the airport, not have played a down, and people know exactly who I was, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And like that's Philadelphia in a nutshell.
Yep.
When it comes to their sports figures, man, they never forget you, and they're always kind to you if you've played well,
right? Or if you play hard,
yeah.
Play the right way.
Either way, that was
before Andy. It was Ray Rhodes.
Ray Rhodes, right?
Ray Rhodes. Yeah.
How was it playing for him? I mean,
I loved Ray.
I know. He got off such a great start in Philly, and then his last couple seasons.
Ray was a dead man walking when I got here because I think they had already made up their mind that they were going to move on from Ray because I remember our offensive coordinator at that time was Dana Bible. Dana Bible was the offensive coordinator for like one season, and his offense was pretty bad. We were pretty bad that year. So Ray ended up leaving. And then we got Andy Reid, Big Red.
Which was controversial too. That was not the pick that I think Eagles fans, not pick, but that was not the choice. The Eagles fans really were – they wanted someone to experience.
Who was the quarterback
before Bobby Hoying and Rodney Detmer and Rodney Hess.
Yeah, that's right.
But under Andy Reid, Andy wasn't like the fan favorite.
No, he wasn't.
I'm talk
because
radio.
Because he was a quarterback's coach. He was a quarterback coach from Green Bay. He was Brett Favre's quarterback coach. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, there were rumors that it was going to be Jim Haslett. The old defensive coordinator from the Dallas,
that's right.
Dallas
and Giants.
The Pittsburgh Steelers,
and then the Giants, right?
Yeah, yeah, and he's been around for a while, so that was the rumor, and then we found out it was Andy Reid, and the first thing that a lot of people thought, because we liked Ray Rhodes, that who is this guy? Who is he gonna? You know, what is he gonna do? But boy, Andy Reid, like Coach Reid, turned out to be, he's a Hall of Fame coach now.
Oh yeah,
you know, love him to death. He got the best out of us when he got here, you know, and then we went on that phenomenal run that we had when he was here and, you know, eventually got to the Super Bowl, didn't win it, but we got there. So, yeah.
And you just got better and better because you get, you know, the first season under Andy went 5-11. Well, then you flip it. You go 11-5 in 2000 and you win a playoff game against the Bucks.
Yeah.
Right. And then 2001, you win the NFC East, you win the wild card, beat the Bears, the divisional series, and you lost the NFC Championship game to the Rams. Just kept getting better, and then you go 12-4 in 2002. I mean, I guess you saw the building up. You go to the Jags for a little bit,
yes,
right, under another first year coach, Jack Del Rio, and then 2004. Talk about 2004.
Oh man,
that season.
The beginning of that season, I had just got cut by Jacksonville, so I knew that my career was coming to an end, and I remember. In my mind, I'm thinking, hey, I just want to get one more bite at the apple because this is probably my last go around. And I remember in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I'm going for the money grab. So whoever is going to pay me the most money, that's where I'm going to go because that was my mindset. And I remember a friend of mine called me and said, fool, you better take your ass back to Philadelphia. They're going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know.
And this was before the season even started.
Yeah.
And he was like, no. He said, you don't need to go anywhere else. He said, your career is starting to wind down. You need to go back to Philly.
Yep.
He said, just go back to Philly. So I said, you know what? I'll just go back to Philly. I didn't entertain any other offers. I said, I want to go back to Philly and came back, and we went to the Super Bowl.
And it really was one of the best places you could land for a shot at the Super Bowl. We had been to the NFC title game. You know,
plus it was a deep defensive line right there that you were
definitely.
Just another cog. You weren't supposed to – the pressure wasn't on you.
Yeah, it was just to be a part. Just
right,
because
you had with Burgess, you had Grasmanis, you had
Javon Kearse.
Yeah. You had McDougal, you had – Sam Rayburn, Corey Simon.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, some good, you had a good group
Hollis,
of guys.
Your boy Hollis.
Yeah, yeah. So it was one of those things where it was just a no-brainer to come back to Philadelphia.
Yep.
I mean, that was a smart thing to do, smart move, and so I just came back.
What was the – and I hope I'm not bringing up a sensitive subject. Was didn't you get in a scuffle with T.O. and – was it?
You know what's funny? Every time I tell this story –
I don't know why I just thought of that.
No matter how many times I tell this story, people believe what they want to believe. It did not happen.
Okay.
Like, we had some words.
Right.
And we had a little bit of a scuffle. It was not
– totally overblown.
The way that it was described. Mm-hmm. But to this day – everybody's, oh, you beat up T.O. Oh, no, I didn't.
And would that be a fair fight?
T.O. says the same thing, but right. No matter what, I'm pretty sure it just all depends on who you talk to, because I'm pretty sure people tell him he beat me up and people tell me that I beat him up. And no matter how many times I say it, like, it didn't happen that way. People right. want to tell the story yeah. the way that they want to tell it. But yeah. it did. We just had some
and
words.
And talk about coming back from an injury, right?
Yeah.
Did that guy
– yeah.
Remember, that was a
– yeah, because he had broke his leg. You're right, talking about for the right. Super Bowl. Yeah, yes. He broke his leg.
And then he came back. Like, everyone's yeah. writing him off.
T.O. – listen, man. T.O. is a guy that's – he's very misunderstood. Hell of a teammate, though. Like, that's why it's – the irony of all of this is this. When I hear people say – oh, he's a bad teammate, or he's this, that, or the. He's a passionate guy. He's a passionate guy. And if you don't understand that, it like anybody, it tends to rub people the wrong way.
Right.
I'm pretty sure you know people
yep.
that you're really cool with, fun person, but people outside say, oh, he's a Richard, or he's this or that. You'd be like, no, that's not him. He's just, you got to get to know the person. I think T.O.'s a phenomenal teammate, man, and he works hard. He's been working hard, and It was one of those unfortunate situations that no matter how many times you try to tell the story the right way, somebody's going to believe what they want to believe.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. You guys know I'm always up for a good MVP story, and one of the best stories is Wasabi Technology. Wasabi is the world's hottest cloud storage company, and it's become the go-to provider for professional and collegiate sports teams, including 20 Major League Baseball teams like the Red Sox, and NHL teams like the Bruins and Vancouver Canucks. Even the Liverpool Football Club is getting in on the Wasabi action. So, why is Wasabi the MVP? Well, Wasabi was purpose-built to free businesses from skyrocketing storage costs and unpredictable transaction fees that the Amazon of the world are charging. In fact, Wasabi is up to 80% less than those hyperscalers and doesn't charge a cent for businesses to access their data. From Wasabi's AI-enabled intelligent media storage, Wasabi Air, to the industry's only cloud storage service with triple protection against cyber criminals, data deletion, and ransomware, Wasabi's taking the lead in driving innovation in data storage and helping sports teams to unleash the power of their data. Wasabi, another Boston-based championship team.
Well, it was a great run in 2004. And then, you know, what's fascinating with you, Hugh, is that, you know, your transition into broadcasting, you know.
Yes.
How did that begin?
Another friend of mine, Derek Boyko. Yeah. It happened when Howard Eskin got in trouble for something. And I remember at WIP, they needed somebody to fill in. I guess they didn't have enough hosts or whatever. And so Derek Boyko was like, hey, you need to – he said, you should go do that. He said, I can see you doing radio in a few years. He said, that's an easy, nice, easy gig. You have fun, and you have a lot of personality, so you could probably do that. So I filled in for Howard one day.
But wait, I heard there was a bargain in there in the sense that you saw Angelo Cataldi had like a varsity jacket.
No, see, that's a different story. See,
that's a different one?
That's a story where Angelo was trying to get me to come on his show.
Right. And his TV show.
Yes, and I was trying, and Angelo never liked to come to the locker room.
Yep, still doesn't.
So he doesn't.
No.
So the bargain was, okay, Angelo, I will come on the show if you give me a jacket and come into the locker room and ask me yourself.
Right.
And he did it. And I still have that jacket to this day.
Is that right?
I still have this jacket. And he came into the locker room. And so that's how that story started. But then I started going to the radio station because I had to fill in for Howard.
Yep.
And I remember it was Mark Rayfield and Tom Lee. And they asked me, have I ever thought about doing radio? I was like, I didn't think about it. And it kind of went from there. And I remember when I retired from the Eagles, Howard Eskin called me and said, hey, if you're willing to move back to Philadelphia, we'll give you a job. And I was like, okay, that's fine. I ain't doing nothing else. So, yeah.
Now, I heard another barter one, too. Get a lot of scoop on you, Hugh.
Yeah,
is that you said you're going to
– I like swag, man.
This is not, this is, I guess it's swag in a bit. But someone said – you said, I would come back for Milk Duds.
Milk right? Duds. Yeah.
And did Kenny from the Dirty 30?
Yeah.
Like, come back, bring a whole thing of Milk Duds for you?
Kenny did that?
Yeah. Yeah. It was one of those things, man. I would just say stuff just to see, you know, if I get some free Milk Duds or whatever. So, yeah.
Free Milk Duds.
Free Milk Duds.
Yeah. Man, you work cheap, dude.
I'm all about
that. Jacket, Milk Duds, bucket hat. Right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm all about do you like that part of it, Hugh? You're such a personable guy. I mean, it seems like it comes naturally. Do you like that going back and forth with the fans?
I do to a certain extent. Because, you know, it's the unfortunate thing about sports nowadays is that sometimes it gets a little out of hand. You know, when you see, like, you see certain clips of people fighting in the stands and things of that nature, that's a little bit too much, man. We're here. Think about it like this. During the pandemic, what is the one thing that brought us all together? Sports.
No doubt.
What was the Last Dance?
How many people watch that?
Everybody, and their mama watched
right,
that. That's what brought us together because we
content.
Didn't have yep. nothing else. And it's unfortunate that sometimes, you know, in our fandom, which I totally get, and I try to, you know, stay away from it as much as I can. But it's we get a little ridiculous. We get a little ridiculous yeah. sometimes.
All right, now Tom, now Hugh is Atlanta Radio, right? You're still doing it up until you.
I'm disappointed.
And we want to get to the part where obviously you're going to be working WIP pretty soon. But in your talk radio, obviously we play the Braves.
Yes.
So how cool was that? Like, you know, here you've got some Philadelphia loyalty, more to the Eagles, but you know, it was interesting. You spent a lot of time in Philadelphia,
yes.
and you're down there. Were you known as a Philadelphia guy down there?
I was a carpetbagger.
Okay.
That's what I was called. I was called a carpetbagger.
Okay.
I will, full disclosure, watched a lot of Braves games, wore a lot of Braves gear, and it was one of those things where I said, well, I got love for the Phillies. And I never denied the fact that I had love for the Phillies.
All right.
And I went to Phillies games and other. But I was like, okay, I'm here. I'm not wearing any Eagles gear. I mean, excuse me, I'm not wearing any Falcons gear. Can't do that. Baseball is a little different. Basketball is a little different.
Gotcha.
But now, since I'm back, the first thing that I did, I'm like, heck, I can't bring this Braves gear. Like, I had some nice Braves gear. I'm like, I can't bring any of this
no,
up
you
there.
Can't bring that back to Philadelphia.
Because I'm like, wait a minute, they're in the same division. Can't do that.
Yeah.
Got to get rid of that.
Did you donate it to a school or something?
I had to. I gave it to the Goodwill. Had to give it to some nice, you know, the Raglan shirts, the real nice ones.
Yeah.
And I was like, man. But the unfortunate thing about it is this, and I'm going to say this, but I'm not jockeying for free gear. That's not what I'm doing here. But I tried to go on the Fanatics site and get some Phillies gear before I got here. Dude, Phillies hot.
Yes.
Hard to find.
Can't find it.
So can't find it anywhere, so I got to wait till next year. But that was what it had to get rid of the Hawks gear. Had to get rid of all of that because it's like, listen, it's one thing for people to know that I'm not wearing Falcons gear. But I can't wear it. Like, going to a Phillies game, going to a Sixers game with anything less will probably get you beat up regardless of who you are. So I was like, I can't do
that. Well, we're going to get you to meet Francis Winky,
uh-huh.
who works down the New Era team store down there. We'll get you set up down there for you.
I'm just so happy for you. You can be your true self now that you're back in Philly. You don't have to, you know, you can just, it can be Philly all the time. You don't have to be closeted anymore.
It's a little easier
yeah.
because it's funny. When I first started doing radio in Atlanta, I would get in trouble because I would wear Eagles gear. Like, I had an Eagles jacket
yeah,
that I would
sure.
wear. And the Falcons are really, really nice people. Mr. Blank's a really nice guy. And they would give me Falcons jerseys and T-shirts. Can't wear that. I can't wear that. Now, okay, I'll compromise because you know how at our station in Atlanta, they want, like, we're representatives of the sports team. So they want you to wear the sports gear.
Sure.
So I'll wear the Hawks gear. I'll wear some of this Hawks gear. I'll wear some of this Braves gear. But I refuse to wear Falcons. Yeah, I can't do it.
I like
cannot,
it, Hugh.
Cannot.
I like it. I know. And I know before you made the move to WIP to come back up here, though, I was reading, did you do a little bit of, like, rugby?
That was a lot, yeah.
What was that all about?
It was friends of mine asked me to do a little bit of rugby.
Like a play-by-play or color guy?
Just talking about rugby.
Oh,
and how
okay.
Listen, let me tell you. Rugby is a lot harder than you think it is. It's foot.
It looks hard to you. That's what I was going to ask.
Well, you're not wearing pads.
You're constantly running, and the physical aspect of it is just like football.
Yeah.
But you're constantly running. Like, you couldn't take a rugby player, a football player couldn't play rugby. It would take him a while because, you know, like in soccer, they call it being fit,
right.
You know, run up and down the pitch. Same thing in rugby. Same thing. You had to be physically fit because you're running up and down the court.
How about the All Blacks team in from New Zealand?
New Zealand.
How about when they get ready for the game, they do that to the hookah or what are they?
Right.
What are they called?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The tribal dance.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's the most intimidating thing. Right.
Well, you gotta psych yourself up because you know it is physical, and
yes, it is.
You know you just gotta. So, and my question too is Jordan Mulata. I mean, I love seeing those clips when they recruited him. You know, those clips
rugby.
Of guys, yeah, running like 100 miles an hour, just guys bouncing off him.
He was what you call a truck. He was a tank out there,
total tank. So here's my prediction. I don't know if you can make a sports bet on this. I think the Eagles, at one point in the Super Bowl, they're going to pull a refrigerator Purdy.
Really?
And line him up. Why don't they line him up at the backfield if they need – they got Jalen Hurts getting, 100
– I was going to say, he's never –
He got to get Jordan Mulata to block. We need him to block.
You're already fired. You're fired as offensive coordinator.
I'm not the offensive coordinator.
Hey, listen,
I need
him to block people. Yeah. I don't need him carrying the damn ball. Hey,
and if he fumbles that ball, then you're fired again.
I know. Well, that's true, too. But Jalen does get that automatic, if we need the yard. I'm just saying, if Jalen wasn't so automatic, I'd say throw Jordan back there and just give him the ball.
Yeah, we need him to block.
I guess
I got to say, like,
all right. I won't place that bet.
The quarterback sneak these days has become more automatic than I remember it. Right?
I feel like in all
the teams.
Because of analytics. You know, analytics says in certain situations like those that you should go for it. I mean, it's funny because when you think of analytics, the first thing that comes to mind to me is Moneyball and how baseball has integrated into the analytics and everything. Football is right there with it. You just don't hear about it as much as you do in baseball.
Right.
But analytics is in almost all of the sports now, especially when you talk about different players and different fits and everything like that. They use a lot of analytics in football.
But particularly with that the way the Eagles do the quarterback sneak, wasn't there some kind of controversy? Like they're not lining up right or maybe they're pushing Jalen and I don't know.
I think we're hearing something about that. Talking about guys pushing him or whatever.
Yeah.
Pushing him. I mean, listen, anything to get momentum. Jalen's a strong young man anyway. Oh, Jalen's squatting like 600 pounds. So he has that leg push, that leg drive. But, yeah, I think it's because it I guess they feel like it gives you an unfair advantage or whatever.
Yeah. Well, they're doing something right because it does seem automatic.
Now, a couple things that you've got to be very proud of. One, 2019, you were inducted into the Black College Football Hall of Fame, right? And you've got guys like Jerry Rice and Walter Payton and, some big,
Mel
big,
Blount. Yeah, man.
Big stars
Michael Strahan, yeah.
In that.
Yeah.
So that's good. You got to be very proud of that.
Harold Carmichael,
right?
Yeah.
Will Montgomery's got to be in there too, right?
Yeah.
Wilbur, Abilene State.
Texas Abilene.
I don't think Texas Abilene is
it's not?
I don't think that's HBC.
Okay. But then last year you were inducted into the Eagles Hall of Fame. What was that like?
Oh man, that was great. Just coming back to Philadelphia, seeing all my old teammates, just chopping it up with them, busting it. You know how it is, man. When you see guys that you've played with for so long, you walk through history with. And just to be back and be on the same plane with them and being back in this great city, being back in that stadium, it was surreal. It was really surreal.
I mean, we saw some of that not the Hall of Fame, but for the playoffs.
Yeah, J-Roll, I saw that. J-Roll, yeah.
Cole Hamels. And Cole.
You know, Cole was in Atlanta for a little while.
And Ryan Howard's there.
Yeah, the big piece, they were down there. Yeah, Ryan lives there now. Didn't get a chance to see him, but it's always great. Didn't get a chance to, interact with the guys when they were there, but it's always great to see that connection with the Phillies.
And I got to tell you what, too. I'm going to say this right now. When you come down to spring training, because let's talk about WIP. You're going to be starting the new midday show in a couple weeks.
With Joe Giglio, yes.
With Joe Giglio. You often hear him on doing the post-game show. And that's got to be very exciting, right?
Yes, it is.
Doing that from 10 to 2.
You know, it's funny. I hear – you know how you hear different things about a person, but you want to see for yourself? They say Joe's a little different. Joe loves his baseball too, so that should be pretty exciting. You know, just getting back into the flow of things, talking baseball with Joe, so that should be pretty exciting.
Well, you're coming down to spring training, and when you come down, I'm making this pronouncement right here.
Go ahead.
And then I'm going to have to call Dan McDonough to get it cleared. How about you throw out the first pitch down in Clearwater? What do you think?
I have no problem. You know, I did that. Remember I did that before, right? Yes. And it was a little kid that came behind me and embarrassed me. Because I didn't know you got to put a little stank on it.
Yeah.
So I got to work on my pitching.
I'm giving you an opportunity to improve on your first one.
Yeah, I do. Because people were very, very disappointed.
And we'll make sure there's two little kids before you this time.
What is it, John? Throw it high.
I always tell, okay, this is funny. So, yeah, every time we have a celebrity, this is my 30th year with the Phillies, Hugh. And every time, you know, I'm usually the one that has the celebrities, and I say it's always better to go too high than too low. Mm-hmm. If you go too high, you get a ooh. You go too low, like go in the dirt, you get a boo.
You
get a boo.
Okay. Yeah, if it goes low, you're usually, you know, throwing it in the dirt.
Yeah, don't want to do that one. So, and obviously,
I might have to practice a little bit.
Obviously, don't want to do like 50 Cent, which goes way out to the left, or Mariah Carey, it goes straight down. Or,
no, because this is a little bit of, like, you don't know, like, I don't think people realize that have never pitched like me, that when you're on that mound, that's a little intimidating.
Yeah.
It's a little intimidating.
Yep,
for sure.
And it's like you're looking down, and it's like you want to make sure that, you know, and that's when you throw the worm burner.
Right.
You're throwing it down.
That's why I say, too, don't try to throw too hard.
Because
that's when guys throw the worm burner because they don't extend as much. So we had A.J. Brown last year came to throw the first pitch. I had no idea he was a draft pick of the Padres, right?
So he had some heat.
I didn't know that. So I'm like, A.J., hey, John Brazier. I'm like, I'll be with you for the first pitch. And I gave him my spiel. Make sure you don't try to throw it too hard. Go, you know, if you throw it too high, go do a high release point.
Did he tell you this ain't my first rodeo?
He's looking at me like very polite, but he's looking at me just it's like, I got it. Like, you know, I'm like, okay.
He almost took the Fanatic hand off, actually.
Yes, he did an unbelievable, threw heat, not just heat, had a little bite in it, right?
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. And next thing you know, I find out later that he was a 20th round draft pick of the Padres. I'm like, oh, my God.
I was like, Doug Peterson threw a heater.
Doug threw a great one as well.
Yeah. So you're going to be back in Florida. Can you just taste the grouper sandwiches?
I didn't eat the grouper sandwich.
Oh, no?
I didn't eat it because I'm I know this might sound weird, but I'm not really a seafood guy.
Oh.
I've eaten it, but it's not like, say, if I'm looking on the menu, that's not going to be my first choice.
All right.
I'm more of like a steak kind of guy, a burger type deal.
But I like burgers down there.
I have a Cuban food. There's my favorite restaurant down there is Columbia.
Columbia. I haven't been to the Cuban spot yet.
All right. That's a good
spot.
Might
have to take it there.
Sankey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right. Tom, are we ready for this quiz here?
You're going to quiz Hugh. I do see apparel since you're a bucket hat guy too. So
yes,
I think,
I
think
yes,
there's
I
a bucket hat on the line here. So.
All right, Hugh, I have eight questions.
Eight.
You have to get six. To have the bucket hat.
Okay.
I think I'm going to give you the bucket hat anyway, but nobody's going to do that. And you got to get six out of eight. It's all about you, and it's multiple choice.
Okay.
All right?
So you got a shot.
I think you got a really good shot.
I hope I do.
All right.
Thanks for the visit. Let's get down to business. Now here's your chance to show how much you really know. He might get grumpy if he can't stump you with Brazier's Quiz.
Ready? Your first question.
All right, here we go.
You went to Mansfield Senior High School in Mansfield, Ohio, right?
Yes.
Which of these celebrities? Now, I'm a little loose on celebrities, so
Mansfield didn't have a ton of celebrities.
I think I know where he's gonna go with this.
I'm not saying that.
All
I'm
right.
just saying like you know, well known, I should say.
All right.
Because you know, some of these aren't celebrities.
This is Beverly Hills High.
Right.
Okay.
Well, no, I'm sure if I went to my high school, I'd be doing the same thing. Did not go to Mansfield Senior High School. Okay. So three of them went to Mansfield.
Mm-hmm.
One did not. Okay. You got to tell me which one did not. Sherrod Brown, U.S. Senator from Ohio. That's A. B is Lee Adams, a Tony Award winning lyricist, did Bye Bye Birdie. And those are the days from All in the Family.
Okay.
Those were the days.
I don't think you made that guy up, but go ahead.
Singer Terrence Trent D'Arby. sign your name on across the cross. My
Terrence Trent D'Arby did not go to Manchester.
Is that true? Bang. You don't even have to hear the fourth one.
I didn't even get to Keon Johnson, who's Winthrop's all-time leading scorer. You got it right. Terrence Trent D'Arby. Was it my singing that guy?
No. I just know, like, all the names you mentioned, I was like, he did not go to Manchester.
All right. You also went to Central
and you're
State.
Right. Those other ones are borderline celebrities.
You also went to Central State University in Wilberforce, Ohio. Which of these celebrities did not go to Central State? Okay. Eric Williams, former Pro Bowl offensive lineman for the Cowboys and the Ravens. Otis Day, lead singer of Otis Day and the Knights from Animal House. Amoroso Manigo Stallworth, who's from The Apprentice and Surreal Life. And Hastings Kamuzu Banda, who's former president of Malawi.
The second guy, who was the second guy?
Otis Day.
Otis Day.
Otis Day.
Yeah, Otis.
Otis,
my man.
Otis, my man. He didn't go.
He
huh?
did not go there.
No, he did not.
But
go
I
there.
Saw Otis Day down in Clearwater, Florida.
Oh, yeah.
One New Year's
I
Eve.
Partied with Otis in a frat house at Drexel University.
Did you really?
Well, we saw him perform in the band, and then they came to the fraternity party that night. We're in the basement.
Did you yell, Otis, my man?
Oh, of course I did.
you're kind of supposed to. You have to, right?
Yeah, for
you got
sure.
To.
All right, you're two for Shamalama two.
Shamalama ding dong.
All right, two for two. Who was not drafted before you in the 1995 draft? So you were number 16 in the draft.
Yes.
Who was not drafted before you? So three of these were drafted before you, one was after you. Tyrone Wheatley, Mike Mamola, Warren Sapp, Joey Galloway.
Joey Galloway was drafted after me.
He was not drafted. Did I mess this one up?
I think you did. I was going to – Mamola was a different year,
yeah,
right?
Mamola was drafted before me.
No, it was before you, yeah.
Tyrone Wheatley was drafted after me.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Okay, yeah, Tyrone Wheatley was drafted.
Who
after.
Was not drafted before. So, yes, meaning after.
Okay,
so
okay.
Tyrone Wheatley,
drafted.
You just got it right there.
Yeah, okay.
All right, you got it right there.
Yeah, I screwed that one up. Yeah.
Well, I didn't really phrase it the best way.
Well, what pick was Mamola?
Mamola was like 12th or something.
Yeah.
Mamola went pretty high.
Really?
Yeah. No, he was like 9th, I think.
Yeah, remember he was like the combine king.
Yeah,
the combine.
I remember with Mike Mamola, when he ran in the combine, everybody was – it was – the whole buzz of the combine.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, because he lit it up at the combine.
We just saw Mike at the Darren Dalton event not too long ago.
Yeah, last week.
All right, you are 3 for 3.
3 for 3, you.
You are 6th all-time in sacks for the Eagles with 54.5. Who is the NFL – this should be a no-brainer. Who is the NFL all-time sack leader?
Bruce Smith.
200. I don't even need to ask that one.
Bruce
All right.
Smith.
You are 4 for 4.
4 for 4, you're on a roll.
Two more you need. All right, Tom had mentioned rugby. In 2011, you were co-host of a Six Nations Championship rugby show on BBC. It was a rugby union tournament featuring England, France, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, and Italy. Who has won the most outright titles with 29? Is it Ireland, England, France, or Wales?
I want to say England.
England is right. He is 5 for 5.
Australia's not in there? Don't they usually have a big rugby team?
They do Australia? A very good rugby team, but this is more – it's a – an old school Six Nations.
Oh, okay, I got it.
So it's a tournament.
Right, so they're
just
not even in that. All right.
Yep. All right. You are currently doing a sports radio show in Atlanta. How many combined championship titles? You know what? Tom hasn't seen this list. You can use Tom as a lifeline if you want because he hasn't seen these questions. You are currently doing a sports radio show in Atlanta. As I said, how many combined championship titles does Atlanta have in the four major sports, which is Braves, Hawks, Falcons, and used to be the Flames and then the Threshers.
How many combined championships that they have?
Combined championships out of those. I can tell you right now the
– one.
Give them the four choices.
The four choices are 7, 3, 5, or 2.
I'm going to say 2.
You want to get a lifeline?
Don't use me as a lifeline. My quiz extends.
Because I know one of them was the Braves won. Well, they won twice, right? The Braves won it twice.
Braves actually won 4 times.
They won 4.
Yeah,
see, okay.
And the Hawks have won 1 time way back when.
You're talking about way. You're
talking way
about
back.
The Hawks. You're talking about way back when.
Yes. Right. The Falcons or any of the hockey franchises did not.
No.
That was
not
a tough one.
That was a tough one.
All right. Number 7, we mentioned Joe Giglio. How did he get his break in radio? Okay. Do you know the answer already?
He won a contest. I don't remember the exact contest.
All right, so it's A, you're on the right track. A, begged Angela for a job at Wing Bowl. B, met David Yagaroff at a wedding. C, producer for Mike Golick. D, won a fantasy phenom contest on the fan.
There it is.
How about that? He knows his already.
I do know that because when I talked to Joe, he was telling me that, and he won it, and he was doing shifts in New York. He was doing shifts up there. Yeah.
All right. There you go. You've already qualified for the bucket hat.
Getting to know my co-host.
Yeah, you are. Just for bonus, in 2000, the Eagles made the playoffs and beat Tampa Bay Buccaneers 21-3 in the wild card game, right? We talked about that. Who did not score a touchdown in that game for the Eagles? So three of these guys scored a touchdown, one did not. Okay, tell me who did not. Darnell Autry, Na Brown, Jeff Thomason, Donovan McNabb.
That's a tough one. Darnell Autry.
He is 6 for 7 or 7 for 8.
7 for 8.
7 for 8, and yes, he did very well.
You know, Darnell Autry did a zombie movie. He was, what is it called?
Really?
Yeah, was it Young Frank? What is it called? Something, Black Frankenstein or something.
Is that right?
Yeah, he did it.
Is that what he's doing now?
No, he did one. It was like way back in the day.
Way back.
He was supposed to be he was Frankenstein.
Now, did you ever think about that from like an acting point of view? I think you'd be really good at that.
I did a little acting. I was in Limitless, like for like a quick second.
The movie Limitless?
Yes.
Wow. What
were
you?
Like a quick second.
Were you in like the bar scene
or
something?
The poker scene.
Oh, poker.
Matter of fact, I shot it here in Philadelphia.
How about that?
Is that M. Night Shyamalan?
No.
Bradley Cooper's the star.
Right. Yeah. Right.
His mind, you know, he could think of everything.
Like, yeah.
He was limitless.
Yeah, he was limitless. And the Eagles are going to be limitless. How's that for a segue, John?
Love it.
It makes no sense. But Hugh, thanks for coming down. Really appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks for having me.
And
perfect
we can't
time
wait to work with you this year and many years
going
forward.
Yeah, we're going to see you in Florida.
Man, I cannot wait. I cannot wait to get back in the saddle, being here in Philadelphia.
It's going to be great.
Going to games, hanging out, singing Sweet Caroline.
Yes.
All of that.
And we're going to get you Phillies gear. We're going to wear out your arm by throwing out the first pitch.
Yeah, I got to work on that. I got to work on that first pitch.
You're going to take BP with our hitting coach now. He's going to, whatever. We're going to meet all our whole new staff.
Yeah,
it's going to meet Philly Rob.
It's changed a lot.
Philly Rob.
Yeah, it's changed a lot.
The truck has already left for spring training. It's hard to believe.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's already left.
I think I saw some pictures of that where they had video of, like, packing it up and
packing
everything.
It up. It's already gone down. Players report in another week or
Tom,
so.
Tom and I 1 year drove down in the Fanatic van with the Fanatic. Drove all the way from here down to Florida.
Not without incident. John backed up into a trash dumpster.
Does the Fanatic know how to act on the road, though? Because it just seems like when he gets outside of Philly, it's just.
Yeah. The wheels come off.
You got to watch that.
You got to watch the Fanatic. All right, John, let's wrap it up. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. And we'll see you next time on Philly's Backstage. Backstage.